First of all, can I just say just how glad I am to be here today? I've had a pretty crazy week. For those of you that don't know, I got into my first ever car accident this past Tuesday. And I worked at a State Farm office for about 2 years, 17 to 19. And every single thing that I learned just went out of my head instantly when it happened. And all I can think of was, I need to call my mom. Like, she'll know what to do. So just all that stuff that I learned just went out completely. I just turned into a kid again. And I was like, hey, I need my mom. So it's been kind of tough being without a car. But it's also been a growing time for me. A time where, of asking for help. And a time of being dependent when I'm so used to being, independent. And being able to kind of drive myself places. And if I want to get groceries, I'm going to get groceries. But now I have to, hey, are you free to take me to get groceries? So it's a different dynamic, but it's been a growing time for me. And it's trying to look at it from a good perspective. So our scripture for today is Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now that we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So I wanted to start the sermon today by talking about adoption, and not necessarily the adoption that we think of today, but the adoption as it was during Greco-Roman time, which is where the New Testament takes place. A little bit of a history lesson, but just bear with me. We'll get there. So there were three different kinds of adoption in the Roman world. And all of these had to do with something called pater familias, which basically means father families. So this was the pinnacle of personal relations when it came to Rome. So you were your father's name, your father's house. It was very patriarch driven. And so each of these different types of adoptions involved a father family. So the first one was something called adoptatio, which is basically just when someone moved from one father family to another father family. So their father family was still there, but now they were moving to another one. The second one was aggregation. And aggregation was the big deal one. Because in aggregation, what happened was someone chose to dissolve their father family to join another. So it will start with two father families, and by the end, it was only one. So this person was choosing to go from independent status to dependent status. They were choosing to be a part of someone else's family and take on their name entirely. And then the third was just testamentary adoption, which basically means that someone stayed in their original father family while also being a part of another one. So they were somewhere in the middle, and they were able to get benefits from both those families. So in this form of adoption, you had the status of the adopting family immediately transfer over to whoever was being adopted. And so this was the case for a lot of Roman emperors at the time. So they had to adopt an heir, maybe because they couldn't have their own children, or it might be because their biological children didn't necessarily fit the bill. So I kind of just imagine a Roman emperor looking at his son and being this kid is going to single-handedly just cripple the Roman Empire. And they're going to write textbooks about it. This cannot happen. So it was so common that for 97 years between Emperor Nerva and Emperor Commodus, every single emperor in the middle there was legitimized by adoption. And 97 years is longer than a lifetime now. So it was a long time of just people coming to power through adoption. And so even the first Roman emperor, Augustus Caesar, who we hear a lot about. He was adopted by his great uncle, Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar, I remembered him as a kid of like the guy that got stabbed, I think, by people. And then now he's like the mascot for Little Caesars for some reason. Like, I would feel a little bit offended if, like me, a great Roman leader, was remembered by like, oh yeah, I have a little like character of me in a pizza place now. But it's just me. So Augustus wasn't necessarily a nobody. He was already born into wealth. He was from an old family, well-known family. But when he saw that Julius had put him in his will, like his life changed forever. He inherited Caesar's name, like all his property, his estate, everything that was his, and the loyalty of his legions. So every man that was willing to die for Julius Caesar, was willing to follow him, now was willing to do all that for Augustus. So adoption was a gigantic deal to Augustus. And in the very same way, it should be a big deal to us. Why? Well, because the community of believers is a family. It's the family of God created through adoption that is open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. We get to enter into an ancient promise made to a man named Abraham in the ancient Near East, which is, I think that's kind of far from Dunwoody, just a little bit, maybe a few thousand miles, that his descendants would be blessed and be a blessing to the nations as well. We enter into the greatest story, the greatest adventure ever known. It's like an aggregation. You know, a person is freely choosing to be a part of the family, to let go of their independent status and become dependent on the God they serve. So when we are brought into adoption by God, we are giving the Holy Spirit as a sort of down payment for our inheritance. Romans 8 tells us that we are heirs of God and that we are co-heirs with Christ as well. So we are no longer tied to the self-serving, the self-reliant, and the me-first way of living. At one point, we were slaves to the flesh, but now we're servants of righteousness. So we owe nothing to the flesh. We owe nothing to that ugliness that comes out of us that we can't explain sometimes. We owe nothing to those patterns of thinking that make us feel that we're worthless. And we owe nothing to that struggle of trying to find little tiny meanings in our work or our school or money or whatever it may be. The Spirit dwelling in us when we're part of the family helps us to kill sin so that sin isn't killing us. So how have you been fighting those sins that have been eating away at your life, that have just been nibbling away slowly? Maybe you don't even realize it's doing that. How have you been fighting that? The hatred, maybe the pride, the jealousy, maybe even the misplaced identity. You can't do it alone. And I 100% know I can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone. No human refinement of the mind can make it spiritual. No human effort can overcome what we have been struggling with for millennia. So he's calling us, God's calling us to run to him, to cry out, Father, help us. I will reach down your hands because we can't do this on our own strength. We can't do a single thing without that help. So a life lived by the flesh doesn't lead anywhere pretty. Even if it feels good at the moment, it won't lead anywhere. But here's the kicker. Here's like the funny part to me, that even a life lived by the Spirit is also not an easy life. It's a life where you're being crucified with Christ daily. We join in Christ's suffering so that we can join in that glory as well. We deny ourselves the daily whims of life because we know that the ultimate satisfaction is in Jesus. And the day is coming when we will see that full glory, when we will see the kingdom of God in the state of now, where we see it now, but also in the not yet. In other words, being a part of the family is being with the family, even through the hard times. It's like having to drive your cousin, me, because my car's in the lot. It's like, it makes me think of having like struggle meals, you know, like growing up when there wasn't enough food to get like some really good snacks. So you had to put together like abominations, like Ritz crackers and ketchup, or like you have to put like sausages and toast bread or something, maybe cereal and water. It never got that bad for me, or maybe like avocado and bread, which now every single like aesthetic and quirky coffee shop will sell you like avocado toast for like $9 or $10. Like, you are paying big bucks for something I used to make when I was 8. Do not let them trick you. Don't fall like that. So, a life in the Spirit is a life of denying your flesh those pleasures that feel so good. That feel so good, but aren't worth it, because it will sabotage you in the long run. It's a life of constantly choosing Christ when you would rather just choose whatever is tempting you, no matter what it is, no matter where it takes you. So this morning, I just wanted to leave you with two main things. The first one being that when you enter into a relationship with Christ, you are adopted into the family of God. Your little family, whether that's like your parents, your children, your brother, your sister, they get added onto the big family. And those people that you see around you today, can I have you guys just turn to the person right to your right or to your left, wherever they are? Yep, you see those people next to you? Those aren't just strangers that you come to church with and they're like, oh yeah, I guess they're there. Those are your brothers and sisters. Like, that is a big family that you're a part of. And they're not just here in Dunwoody, they're in Georgia. They're in the United States. They're back home for me in the Dominican Republic. And they're all over the world. So you're not alone. If you're ever feeling alone, trust me, it's a lie. And I've seen that firsthand with just going through this time of not having a car and seeing just, not just blood family help me, but people here, everyone just like being so willing to help in any way that they can. So I have been continuously reminded that I'm not alone, no matter how weary sometimes it may feel. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit is with you to fight sin. And he gives you the tools to live a life of honoring him. It's not an easy life, but it's a life that's worth every second. He invites us into a life of purpose, of freedom. We're no longer tied to the flesh. We don't have to just be like, I'm feeling this way, so I got to do this because I can't hold myself back. And also a life of assurance, being secure in your identity and knowing whose you are. Because when you know who you are, that's when you know how to act. When you're changed inside, that's when you see stuff outside. So the Holy Spirit is just that beginning, that kind of sneak peek of that inheritance to come. And so the family house, it's open to you. It's open to you whether it's your first time walking through that door or whether you've had like a space there in the couch next to the kitchen somewhere for a few years now and you've been doing this for a very long time. God is there for you whether it's your first time or you've been here longer than I have been alive. Which is not that hard to do. So yeah, if the house is open, and even if you can't see a physical representation of God's arms going around you, you can most definitely see it with the people around you here today. And you can definitely see it in those cries that you share, those laughs, that comfort, those hugs, and all that support. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that we are part of a family. We thank you so much, Lord, that you're there for us, that you invite us into this great and awesome story and adventure. We thank you so much that you are the God who adopts us, whether we're orphans, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, wherever we are in life, Lord, you are there for us. You invite us, you give us your Holy Spirit, and you guide us. Lord, we just pray that as we go about our day, you just continue to remind us of that, that we are not alone, that your Spirit is with us, and that we can always rely and trust on you. Amen.